We had our softball game yesterday, and we went down like flies. It was the mid-30s to 50s playing the 20s. And I will say, in the spirit of honesty, to my understanding, we were only supposed to play a short game, which was four innings, and we were winning 9-2. Now, you have to understand, we got absolutely destroyed last time. So we're feeling pretty good. And I heard some chatter going on out there about extending it another inning. And I thought, these dirtbags are trying to get one up on us. Well, they did. They talked. Kenny's the coach, and Kenny's just a softie. And he's, okay, if you want to do another inning, we'll do it. And the other inning was our undoing. Because by then, I mean, I'm just telling you, we were dropping like flies. I mean, Natalie goes down with a sprained ankle. Chris literally jumped for a ball and rolled on his head backwards. And then he wound up with his shoulder all bruised and sprained his ankle. And then Kenny went down with a hamstring or whatever it was. And we everybody already had pinch runners. The whole team had pinch runners. I told him we were out of pinch runners. What are we going to do? And so because Kenny's a softy and he let them go the extra inning, they wound up, well, maybe two. They took the lead and they won, but they cheated a little bit. It sounds good, if nothing else. But we did lead 9-2 for the first four. That's all I'm going to say. So we're holding on to that score right there. We killed him. We're tired. Exodus chapter 15, verse 9. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see some of you made it on time today. I mean that. God is good. Progress. I'm glad to see some of you just made it, period. God is good. Amen. Exodus 15 and 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? I want to preach to you for a couple minutes today on the title, What Do You Remember? What do you remember? But Matthew, go ahead and pray for us.
Yes, Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house today, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, God, for all that you've done, Lord, and all that you are going to do today. God, I ask, Lord, that you bless these people, Lord, God, with your word that you have prepared on Pastor's heart today. And as he speaks, Lord, I ask that you speak through him and into the lives of your people, Lord, no matter what they have gone through, no matter what they've done, Lord, they have gathered here today, God, to seek something greater than themselves, Lord Jesus. God, may every distraction leave this place at once, Lord, so your voice and your word can go forth as you see fit today, God, and may your will be done no matter what has to happen. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you. This text is about the psalm or the song of Moses that they sang after they crossed the Red Sea. It shows exactly the first verse what Satan believes and desires. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword and my hand shall destroy them. That same spirit, that same adversary still exists today. Everything that you experience in life, every battle, every heartache, every struggle, every contention, every ounce of confusion, every bit of bitterness, every bit of jealousy, all of it is because of this verse right here. Because the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. Think about that for a moment. From a spiritual standpoint, He'll divide the spoil. Satan takes what he has destroyed, and then he just divvies it up. He separates. That's what you, when you talk about that verse, I want you just to think of a broken family. Family members that don't talk. Family members that live in chaos and don't even realize they're living in chaos. He said, my lust will be satisfied and I will draw my sword and I shall destroy them. That is the adversary's desire. And so as they sing this song, the first thing Israel does is they recount where they were, what the enemy wanted, and then they talk about what God did. It says, you blew with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who's like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praise, doing wonders? And so, after they recount what the enemy desired, they then talk about what God did. Sounds good. The latter verse was birthed from the Lord's victory. Not theirs, but the Lord's. However, 11 days turned into 40 years because they remembered the wrong things. 11 days turned into 40 years. The Bible speaks over 200 times about remembering. If you recall, when Peter denied Jesus, the Bible said he remembered what the Lord had spoken. Sometimes remembering when it's too late is frustrating. Now I fear that our world has come to a place or a precipice in life where people won't remember. They won't allow themselves to remember words of warning or caution that were spoken because they don't like to associate that with what is taking place. It's easier to just believe you had some bad luck and a bad day or a bad week than it is to believe or accept the fact that you just didn't listen. And that brought all this on. Now, I'm kind of going out of my notes here for a second. I'll try hard to get back in them. So, when we open up with Israel's accounting of what the enemy wanted to do, but what God did, sadly, it's about the last time you see a song like that written in their 40 years in the wilderness. Exactly about 13 months later, we arrive to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 1. About 13 months after their Red Sea crossing. And the Bible reads like this, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. May I pause for a second? And may I tell you emphatically that the complaining displeases God? May I tell you that when you sit in the secret of your kitchen table and you whine and bellyache and complain that it displeases God? Can I tell you when you're on your way to church and you start complaining about what kind of sermon's going to be preached, it displeases God? Can I tell you that when things aren't going great in your life and all you do is complain about how bad things are, that it displeases God? Can I tell you when you complain about how the church is going, complain about those in leadership, complain about the sermon, complain about who preached, that it displeases God? Now, I'm not positive who I'm preaching to today. I believe if I'm preaching to a church of Christians, I believe that I forgot what I believe. It'll come back to me. And so it goes on, when they complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. So God begins in his anger to go throughout the camp of Israel and literally consume people in fire and destroy them because he was so angry about the complaining. In verse 2, you got to watch, you got to read this, you got to pay, you got to follow with me now. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. In 25 years, I can tell you that when people's lives are at a cliff, they always somehow make their way back to the church and seek the pastor's advice. They normally don't want it when things are going well, only when they're at the cliff. Now, that's not a blanket statement. And that's where Israel was. They prayed. They went to Moses and they said, you've got to get a hold of God for us. And so he does, as a good pastor would. And the fire was quenched. And the Bible says he called the name of the place Taberah because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Now, you don't know where I'm going, so just kind of hang with me. Don't write me off now because your little feelings are getting hurt already. Oh, it's not a nice message. I knew it wouldn't be. And the children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? These next two verses, they vex me. And you've got to hear them. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Nothing beside this manna. Listen, only people that grew up with nothing will understand this next statement. There's no food in the house. There's a cabinet full of rice and beans, and there's noodles you can boil, and there's butter in the fridge. Throw some on it, and you can probably find some spaghetti sauce too. What do you mean there's no food in the house? There's all kind of food there. Can you imagine just for one moment? Now, I'm going to make my point, if God will help me one way or another today. Can you imagine God taking you out of 420 years of slavery? Dozens of generations born as servants. And God takes you out of it. And you say, we remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely. And the cucumbers, oh, and the melons, oh my gosh. And the leeks and the onions and the garlic, I love garlic. I haven't had any garlic since I've been out. Since I left Egypt, I haven't had any garlic. But now our soul's dried away. There's nothing at all but this manna. Can I tell you that sometimes, I wish I could preach today. Can I tell you that sometimes God gives you what you want, not what you want? Didn't go over real well, did it? Sometimes what you have is because it's what God gave you for a reason. But what do? We complain about the melons and the garlic that we had in bondage. When I wasn't in church, I didn't have these problems, Pastor. When I was in the world, my job was great. I had plenty of money. I didn't have a church asking me for an offering every week. There weren't no special building programs going on. Nobody, I could take my tax refund and use it anywhere I wanted. Some still do. Don't worry about that statement. When I was in the world, it was a lie. I've had people tell me that. I had a phone call a couple months ago, somebody who hadn't been in church in years, and I just felt led to call this person. And I called him. And we had a long conversation, and I pled with them to come to church. I said, you know this is where you belong. Hadn't talked in years. It was just about a month after that, they moved out of state. They told me they were leaving. Within weeks, wound up in a coma and died. Think I'm lying? I'm telling you the facts. And I remember years earlier when that person quit coming to church, they said, oh, Pastor, it was a lot easier when I wasn't in church. We remember the fish that we ate freely in Egypt. didn't cost us an offering, didn't cost us our Saturday, didn't cost us anything. And the melons and the cucumbers and the garlic, oh, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. But now our soul is dried away. Now I want you to catch this. Now I know that we're tired this morning. I'll try to wake you up. But while they're in the will of God, is it possible to feel like your soul is dried away? While you're right smack dead in the middle of God's will. Yes, it is. And there's nothing but this manna. It only took 13 months from the time that they wrote that song. God blew his winds over the sea and covered the enemy. Who is like unto the Lord? We remember what it was like in Egypt. The fish that we ate and the melons and the garlic. Oh. Took 13 months. 13 months. Approximately 1 year they were at Mount Sinai. About a year. Numbers chapter 10. We're going to back up one text. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai. So the verse chapter prior, we're reading what led up to this that we just read about the remembering what they had in Egypt. They're finally moving towards the promised land after being at Mount Sinai for a year. God finished giving them the law, establishing the priesthood and the tabernacle, organizing the camp, and he, of course, manifests his presence to them. So much had happened. So much divine things had taken place. And they now take up their camp. The Bible says the cloud was lifted, which was time for them to move now towards the promised land. The Hebrew wording appears to convey to us that people became complainers about their hardship and their adversity. Really? Well, that's just shocking. It seems we always have something to complain about, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem no matter how good things are, we got something. God could have delivered you from cancer 6 months later. Oh my God, there's no food in this house. Think about it for a second. Something goes wrong in your life, we just complain. You don't have enough. Oh, I have no time anymore. I'm just so sick and tired not having any time. When God's given you 40, 50, 60 years already. Plenty of time. It doesn't take long to go from writing a song to complaining. It just depends upon the series of events that surround your life. And so they leave Sinai. They're there for a year. They begin to embark on the remainder of their journey to the promised land. And one chapter later, the Bible says they're complaining. And here's the worst part about it. The Bible doesn't say what they're complaining about. As I just read to you, it appears that their complaints are just about hardships. I don't know. I mean, you know, I wish I had something softer to sleep on. Tired of sleeping in the dirt. I'm tired of crawling under palm trees when it rains. And so they just begin to complain. Why? Because it is our nature to complain. It is our nature to complain. Period. Sermon's over. God bless you. You're dismissed. So, they'd followed God's cloud. They just watch God's judgment against the complaining. They complain. God gets angry. He begins to consume them with fire. They go to Moses. People only come to the pastor when they want the pastor. Now, I knew I wouldn't get a whole lot of comments on that one. And please, can you talk to God and have him stop? God, could you please stop? They're, you know, God says, all right, I'll stop. They stop. And what do? They start complaining again. I mean, imagine that. Can you imagine that? If I was God, I'm just telling you, I'd say, you know what? Forget all this. I'd just consume the whole earth, and I'd be like, I'm just going to stay here for the rest of my existence by myself. But I'm not God. I'm not God. And he just gets done consuming them. He stops what he's doing, whatever it is, ends, and they start complaining again. That is what we read in chapter 11. Almost immediately, they're complaining. And then what do? When they start complaining again? They start reminiscing about Egypt. I don't know about you, but I can tell you I can't think of a thing in the world that I'd have rather gone back to. I can't think of a thing. No matter how hard I try. Oh, there are days I want to be like Elijah and run to the mountain and die. But I didn't say go back to my old life. I don't know what the world offered me. I don't know what it offered you. I don't know what was so great in the world that you want to keep going back to it. That you want to complain about what God is not doing at that moment in your life, but then you don't want to, you want to forget about what Pharaoh was like in your life, and forget about how empty you were, and forget about how lonely you were, and forget about your addiction, and forget about your lifestyle, and forget about everything that God brought you from. I don't know what was so great that you want to go back to that. I don't understand it. There's nothing that would cause me to want to go back to that lifestyle. Amen. But there's always an adversary that's going to try and drag you back to that lifestyle. Yeah. So while they remembered about the fish in Egypt and the melons and the garlic, while they remembered about that, they forgot about the taskmasters. They forgot about the bricks without straw. They forgot about beatings and slavery. They forgot about Pharaoh ordering their sons to be killed before that final plague came in. They forgot about Pharaoh's army pursuing them across the Red Sea. 13 months. 13 months. That's all it took was 13 months. 13 months. I feel the Holy Ghost. 13 months. And they are remembering about the melons and the fish in Egypt, and they forgot about everything else that became their life. The problem wasn't that they had no memory. The problem was what they chose to remember. Memory was never an issue. Memory is never an issue. It's what we choose to remember. They remembered Egypt's menu and they forgot about Egypt's misery. Think about it. Perhaps more importantly, they remembered that Egypt had given them while forgetting about what God had done for them. I can't imagine forgetting all of the things that God has done for me. I can't imagine forgetting where I was when he found me. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it, and I don't care if people just want to exit stage left because I say it. I'm going to keep saying it because truth hurts. There are people that aren't here today because they forgot what God had done. You can give any excuse in the world you want to. You forgot what God had done in your life. Some of you forgot with the ditches that he found you in. Some of you forgot the pit of life that he found you in. You forgot about the times you were at the altar shouting for joy and thanking God and lifting your hands, but now something in this life caused you to forget. But hold on a second. You know what they'll say, Brother Kenny? They'll say, I didn't forget. I didn't forget. I just moved on. Really? I got a question for you. Did God give you permission to leave your wilderness yet? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Did God give you permission to cut your journey short into your promised land? Are you so smart now? I feel the Holy Ghost. Are you so smart now that you know the path forward and God doesn't? Have we become so wise in our ways that we forgot that God is the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith? Have we forgot that God knows where he's taken us and we don't? Have we forgot that, oh, the path might not look so pleasant for the moment, but I know that God has a plan for my life? You see, excuses are always the fast track to backsliding. In the church, and listen, this will fit 1,000 people, all right? But there will always be somebody who they're watching the online service, and I'm not trying to sound cruel this morning, I'm just trying to preach to you. They're watching the online, they're not watching to get the message, they're watching to see if you say anything that could be a hint about them so they can be offended. So I'm gonna say this is gonna cover a lot of people. They sit there and they start complaining. I don't know who said preach it. Who said that? Thank you. People are like, not me. That was a good thing. Sit there and complain about this person and complain about that person. Complain about who's talking. Listen to me. If I were going to quit because people gossiped, we wouldn't have been here 25 years. I won't pass the word. If I were going to quit because someone didn't greet me when I came in church, I'd have been gone 25 years ago. But what happens is the adversary causes us to remember about the fish in Egypt and the melons and the cucumbers and the garlic and forget about the miracles that God had already done to this point in my life. We forgot already how great God has been. We forgot already how excited we were. And so we begin to nitpick the little things. When you begin to nitpick the little things, the enemy is at the center of it all. All of it. Why? Because there's always things to nitpick if you want to nitpick. I'm a nitpicker. I hate the fact that this stain is on this carpet. How did this stain get up here at the altar? I can understand those of you who don't know how to read, no food, no drinks, and you spill your drinks out there in the carpet. You say, I know how to read. I know you don't care. Can I preach for a minute? Brother Richard told me this week that I'm allowed to preach. And so I'm going to preach. Isn't that the truth? If you know how to read, then that means you don't care, right? I feel the Holy Ghost. So I can nitpick a stain here and there. I'm like, I'm not going to quit church because there's a stain in the carpet, Brother Kenny. You know what we're going to do? We'll find somebody who can get that stain out. Is there anybody who can come get the stain out? What I'm saying is there's always going to be stains in the church. In your life and mine. But listen, remember where we started. Go back to that very first verse, Chris. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide. So all you got to hear is the word divide. That's it. Because we're the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. Every time we start remembering the things we shouldn't, is the time you know that the divider is in your house. I've said this 1,000 times. I'm going to say it again. At my own peril. If I say to you, listen, when you come to church next Sunday, I would like every guy to be wearing a yellow tie because yellow's cool. You can go home and you can whine about it. Or you can say, my God, is it that big of a deal? All right, honey, let's go buy a yellow tie. We whine about the smallest, most irrelevant things. Why? Because our eyes are not fixated where they need to be. I know you disagree with me. That don't matter to me. You're wrong. Because the enemy's trying to divide so then he can draw his sword and finish you off. And if he can divide over the most trivial of things, he will accomplish his goal. So what do we do? Well, we decide, well, I'm not gonna focus on the things that don't matter. And I darn sure I'm not gonna remember, see, what I ate in Egypt. I'm not gonna remember how great Egypt was, because Egypt wasn't great to me. So how in the world do you, after all that time of bondage, do you, after God had just, listen to me, you got to hear this. I don't know if you're following me or not, but it's almost like a movie. You can't make it up. 13 months out of singing this beautiful song, how the Lord has conquered and the Lord has buried my enemy under the waves. And oh, we're all singing unto the Lord a new song, singing unto the Lord all ye earth. 13 months later, wine, wine, wine. God says, I'm tired of the whining. He sends a consuming fire in the camp. Going back to Moses, please, please, please talk to God. Moses does it, stopped, and immediately start whining again. It's like a story. It's like fiction. But that's how people are or can be if we're remembering the wrong things. You see, you're going to go through season. I'm going to say it one more time. I want you to, if you remember nothing else I say today, remember this. If God doesn't give you permission to leave your wilderness, I don't care how dry it is. I don't care how much you dislike it. I don't care where you're sleeping. I feel the Holy Ghost. How you're sleeping, when you're sleeping, just remember where you're headed. Just remember that God is working. Just remember that God has a plan. Just remember that God is smarter than you and me and all of us combined. Just remember that God hasn't forgotten you. Just remember that God hasn't forsaken you. Just remember that God still loves you so much that he'll put you through whatever it is he needs to get you into your promise. But if you will not remember the right things, you will be consumed in your wilderness. And so I ask you this question. What do you remember? See, I've never had a problem, I don't think. Well, let me read Psalms 106 and 7 first. It says, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. Sometimes, rather than remembering things you shouldn't, won't you remember about his mercy? Remember that God's love was commended towards you and I before we were ever even knowledgeable of who he was in our life. Remember that God pulled you out of nothing, and he gave you a name, and he gave you a future, and he gave you a reputation. Remember that God undid the sins of your past, and he gave you a new lease on life. Remember that Jesus Christ went to the cross in order to deliver me from my own lifestyle of ill repute and sin. Remember that he did it when I didn't deserve it. He did it when I did not call upon him. He did it when I was not even on scene or in my right mind. Remember what he's done and stop remembering what he hasn't done yet. And so, as one commentator said, selective memory turned deliverance into dissatisfaction. Because we can choose what to remember. We choose. We choose if we want to remember how somebody hurt us. We choose that. I don't speak of somebody who's never been hurt. Again, 25 years. If I was going to just remember what people said about me over the years, I'd have been gone a long time ago. But I choose not to remember those things. Why? Because they can be hurtful memories. The things you've experienced in life, the things that has happened that nobody knows about, the heartache, the tears, the loneliness, the suicide attempt. But God brought you out so you didn't have to remember those things. Stop leaning on them like a crutch. Listen to me. Stop using them to get attention. stop using them to make people feel sorry for you. As long as you want someone to feel bad for you for what you've been through, I'm not saying this as one that doesn't care. I'm saying it as a point of fact. As long as you want someone to feel sorry for you for what you've been through, you'll never remember what God has brought you out of. You'll always remember what somebody did to you. And then in conversation, you make statements like, well, you don't know what's happened to me. And I'll say to you, you don't know what happened to me, but I choose not to remember those things. I choose to remember what God has done in my life, an absolute outright miracle that I stand here today before you because of what God has done. And that's what I'm going to remember. It's hard in the age of Facebook. It's hard. And I know, I don't know what y'all think. And I know that there's some sincerity. But I'm just going to tell you, you'll have a hard time ever convincing me that everybody that gets on your sob story on social media is really praying for you. Praying for you, click. Start stuffing their face with their Snickers again. And you certainly know it's not true when they say sending good thoughts and prayers. I still have not figured out how you send good thoughts and prayers. I mean, you get a postage stamp. Listen, someone played a cruel joke on me when I was a kid. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I was only 9 years old. I wasn't very smart. I'm still not super smart. And they said, go downstairs in the bathroom and get me the heat. Well, now at 53, I know what that is. I said, I don't understand. What do you get the heat? They said, go get a garbage bag, hold it over the vent. And I want you to trap the heat and close it and bring it to me. So I did. I did. I took the garbage bag down and held it over the vent. I closed up. I brought the bag back up only to be completely embarrassed and humiliated. I don't know why I was telling you that story. Anybody know? I don't know. Come back to it. It's traumatizing. See, I chose not to remember it, and I brought it up. Now it's throwing me all off. It'll come. So, the question is, what do you remember? 2 Samuel 1 and 24. Can I tell you real quick? Oh, no, I don't know. Can I tell you that remembering is not always going to be emotionally satisfying? See, we're used to having our sensibilities fed. Oh, I'm so sorry, honey. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, it's so sad. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, help me. And we look and we see all the comments. Oh, God. I had 106 comments on there. Really, it's almost so sad that it makes, I mean, it's almost embarrassing to even say out loud. But in all sincerity, some people are so hurting or empty that they're desperate, they need that attention. But as long as that's you, you'll never remember all that God has already done to this point. The miracle of deliverance of alcohol that plagued your whole life. You'll never remember that you were once divorced and then God put you together and now God has helped bless your marriage, bless your home. Remember that you were once estranged from your children, but God has begun to restore the relationship. Remember how lonely and empty you were, but God has given you something or somebody. Remember. Remember that you were once lost, but now you're found, blind, but now you see. So 2 Samuel 1:24 says, you daughters of Israel weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle, O Jonathan, that was slain in thine high places? I was preaching somewhere years ago, and I sat in the pastor's office before service. Two ladies walked by, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, how the mighty have fallen. Never forgot it. It was a church that was split over something stupid right in the middle of a building program, and the churches continue to go downhill and downhill. I went 1 year later and preached again to that church a word of prophecy that God gave me for that church. And I watched and some of them watched my videos just to kind of spy out on me. So I hope you're watching now just by chance. I watched as people are weeping at the altar. The trustees of the church and the board members sat outside laughing and giggling to people. Remember from whence thou art fallen. That's what God told, I don't remember which church was it? In Revelations, anybody know? Just go read them. There's only seven of them. Won't take you that long. So the people remembered what Saul gave them. Weep over Saul who clothed you in scarlet with other delights and put ornaments of gold upon your apparel. They remember what Saul gave them and they forgot what God had done. Don't ever remember a gift somebody gave you and you forget about the gift of the Holy Ghost. Don't ever remember because someone did a good deed for you. And I'm not saying you shouldn't remember that, but not over God's good deed. There is no deed better than before you were ever even in your mother's womb. God had your name on his mind. And when he came in Christ Jesus and went to Calvary and shed his blood on the old rugged cross so that you might be saved, so whoever will would come. Don't forget that. Over somebody's $100 they sent you and you had no food in your house. As you were posting on Facebook on your $1,000 phone that you need help. It's true. Absolute insanity. Saul remembered his crown. That's why he forgot God's commandment. He forgot who it was that appointed him. And he forgot the tribe that he came from, the lowliest of all of them. He forgot that he was a 10th grade graduate. He forgot that he never finished at the top of any class. He forgot that he never had prestigious college degrees bestowed upon him. He forgot about all that. He forgot where God brought him from and rose him from ashes. And put a crown on his head and gave him a nation to oversee. Saul forgot. The people only remembered what Saul had done for them. They forgot what God had done. And so when you fail to remember what God has done and that it was he that brought you to this point, you will fall. You will fall. It's inevitable. And so we need to first remember who we are. I know I'm boring some of you this morning. Remember that we are dust from the earth. We came to the earth, and we will return to the earth. My wife and I were talking the other day, and I said, I didn't say this, but can you play for me? We weren't talking. I said, honey, can you play for me? I said, I know I'm a little short today, sermonly speaking. I said, I wonder what Dolly Parton's net worth was. Now, I looked it up, about $400, $500 million, something like that. Now, I I'm not about putting people in hell, okay? So please understand what my statement is. Because I know when your favorite movie star, your favorite singer, and I put them in hell from the pulpit, and then you get all mad at me and you'd want to backslide. That's happened. Oh, my God, you know. This and that and all. I see a person that just fell farther and farther from grace. Oh, yeah, got you all messed up already. What are you saying? You could tell me now I got to go throw all of her albums away. No. It's okay. I'm not saying where she is because I don't know. But I do know she didn't dress holy. You mean you can dress holy? Listen to me. You got the wrong guy. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying you got the wrong guy. When you tell me God don't care, tell the priest, Doug, God didn't care about the robes. God said, I'll make your clothes for you. Tell Adam and Eve God didn't care when they sewed fig leaves of aprons, and God said, you're not leaving this house dressed like that. And he made them cloaks. So you're talking to the wrong guy, and I'm in the Word. So all I know is, Brother Tyler, good to see you and your lovely girlfriend. I think girlfriend, hope to be girlfriend. Maybe hope she's your wife someday. I don't know where all that's at. I'm sorry to embarrass you. I'm trying to embarrass him, though, not you. She did not dress holy. I know her father was a Pentecostal preacher. He started the church in Tennessee, in Sevierville, Tennessee, if you've ever been there. It's a neat place. And she described him as a holiness, holy roller preacher. And she described the services. He was out of the Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee, based off what I could research and find out, because I just get interested and I just dig. But all I know is, after her death, they were called an interview. And she said, well, I kind of believe in reincarnation. Now, not a sin, but certainly delusion. If you're going to tell me you believe in reincarnation, I'm going to say, man, you might have a few other problems too. There's some confusion going on up there in your brain, honestly. So when you take the whole ball of wax and you put it together, what's my point? And she said, someone interviewed her once years ago and said, well, what do you think happens when we die? Not, I believe you go to heaven or hell. She didn't say that. Wasn't as bad as a Joel Osteen interview. Well, you know, I believe we're going to go to a better place. I hope I'm going to a better place. You know, I hope I'm going to walk on streets of gold, and I want to still be singing, and I want to still be doing shows. That tells me you're pretty far detached. I don't know why I started telling you that story either. All I know is this. At some point in your life, when you start slipping and you won't know it, somebody has to tell you. And then you either argue or you'll acknowledge it. At some point, you got to start remembering. Remember how empty you were before you came to the Lord. Remember how lonely you were. Over the years, the amount of people that told me, I was going to commit suicide, and I showed up in church this Sunday morning. I felt like I was going to come one more time. It's not just here. It happens everywhere because God is rich in mercy. He hears the plea of an agonizing heart. Only years later to get bitter at the church because you didn't like how we handled COVID and never come back. You don't care about people's safety. You see how easy it is to forget? Oh, you remember that you didn't like how maybe we handled COVID, but you don't remember how rich in mercy God was when you were going to take your life if you walked out of that church and didn't feel any different. Remember. So this morning, I want to ask you, what do you remember? You want to remember what God hasn't done yet? You want to remember that God hasn't answered your prayer? You want to remember what happened to you 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago? I'm not diminishing it one iota. But it's got to be a testimony, not a complaint. God brought you out. He saw you in your pain and your heartache and your misery. And he reached for you. And he rescued you. You want to remember anything, remember that. You want to talk. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. If the devil can keep you remembering all the bad, you'll never have a testimony to affect anybody's life. You'll never have a testimony to tell what God has done for you. Listen, you can complain about who's mean to you and who didn't invite you where, and you can tell everybody all that junk, or you can say, God saved me when the world robbed me. And you can say, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, but God stepped into my life and he stopped the devil right in his tracks. I'm
not going to remember what happened to me in Egypt. I'm going to remember what God did after Egypt. I'm going to remember how he got me out of Egypt. Brad, give me some monitor or I'll kill myself. I'm going to remember what happened when I stood in my Red Sea of life and I thought there was no way forward. And all of a sudden, God made a way where there was no way. A door just opened when I thought it was closed forever. I'm not going to remember the fish in Egypt. I'm not going to remember the garlic in Egypt. I'll remember the tomato soup serving God and being filled with his joy and watching the power of God operate in my life. That's what I'm going to remember. Remember. Oh, that's what it was. Dolly Parton. So I said, I wonder what her net worth was. My wife says, doesn't matter. She can't take any of it with her. Now I want to say, woman, I know that. But unfortunately, that wasn't my conversation. And it just got me thinking. I know that, but how true it is. Not one of your fancy pearls, not one of your fancy dangly things all over your shirts. And, you know, there ain't going to be no guitar in heaven. You're going to be a singer, as we all are, crying, holy, holy, holy to the Lamb of God Almighty. Casting your crown at his feet. It's not going to be about me and how popular or famous I am in heaven. We're all going to have the same status. So remember, don't ever forget. From dust we came, from dust we will return. Don't allow the pleasures of this life to grip you and to possess you and overtake you and consume you and tell you it's okay to leave your wilderness before God gives you the thumbs up. Remember, man had no life until God breathed in his nostrils. Remember that before I came to the Lord, I was dead. I was empty. I was lonely. I was the suicidal attempt. I remember that day still, Cole. And not because of a bad way. Because I remember walking in that bathroom at 11 years old. And I remember pouring the pills down my throat. And I remember the aftermath. And nobody knew until I first spoke it. But you know why I remember it? Because I remember what God rescued me from. I'm not whining about my state of mind at that time. I remember how far God brought me from that to this point. 32 years later, I remember what God has done in my life. For 42 years later, sorry, I lost 10. I remember where I was, but I remember where he found me. I remember standing in the shed and thinking when I hadn't been in church in years, someday I'm going to do something great for God. I remember his voice that I didn't know was his voice at the time. I'm not going to remember how ugly childhood might have been. I'm not going to dwell on where I was. I'm just going to dwell on the fact that he found me there. That was a day that my life took on new meaning. The day Jesus stepped in. And that's what I am going to remember. Remember, woman was taken from a part of man. Remember, it's not my life to do as I wish. He says, I paid for you with my blood. Nobody else would. Your boss hasn't paid for you with his blood or her blood. Nobody else has paid for you, has redeemed you with their own blood, but Jesus. Remember that. When you want to quit, remember it. Remember, it was never my life in the beginning. Remember that I am mighty only through God, not of my own. I can't do it on my own. I can't pull myself out of God's will. I'm His. Remember those prophecies that are not yet fulfilled, that are not lies, because God's word always goes fulfilled. Old Testament prophecies took, in some cases, thousands of years to be fulfilled. Do you know a prophecy does not just end with your life? Do you know the prophecy of Abraham was something he never got to see the full fruition of? So what I'm saying, some of you have prophecies, and you're like, well, why hasn't it happened? Because timing is not yet. But the prophecy is still real, and it's still powerful. Remember it. I remember, Daniel, I remember everything God has ever spoken to me. I really do. I can tell you every place I was in this entire county. I can go down streets. I can tell you everything God has said to me. It's stuck in my brain. That's what I choose to remember. Because I hold on to those things sometimes when days get tough. The road seems long. Canaan seems so far away. Sometimes I got to go back, but not to remember the fish in Egypt or the melons or the garlic, but to remember the word. When Moses first stepped into my life and said, I'll bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey. Woo. Sometimes you got to remember, I go to prepare a place for you. And the way I go, I'm going to return again the same way. Remember, he said, my Father hath many mansions. If it were not true, I would not have told you. Remember that he said that we'll take on a seed that's incorruptible. That we'll take on a body of immortality. A glorified body. What does that look like? Who knows? Nobody knows. We can surmise. We can guess. We can think about it. I don't think it's going to be a physical form. That's my own opinion. Why? God doesn't want to confine us to physical form. That's not glory. That's my opinion. And guess what? When marriage gets tough, just remember, there's no more marrying or giving in marriage in heaven. Honey, don't cry. Don't. It's okay. It's okay. I'll be with you always. Even until the ends of the earth. No, seriously, remember that. So don't spend a lot of money on your wedding. She won't be yours through eternity. I'm going to finish. But I'm going to look around and I'm going to start calling some people out. I remember when Kristen walked in with her and Bonnie. I remember the black hair. I remember she couldn't lift her hands for nothing. She sat right over there where you guys are sitting, Gloria, or Jonas, right in there. I can remember. I remember it all. Every service during worship, head down. I remember the first time I looked back and her hands were like this. I said, God's doing it. God's doing it. And then they go up higher and higher and higher. I remember. Do you, Kristen? I do. I remember when Chantel walked in. Those god-awful baggy pants with chains hanging from her pockets. Black hair. Something about that black hair. If you're a true black-headed person, I'm not talking about you. Sure, I'm being honest, huh? Talking about the dyed people. People that dyed it before they died to it. I remember. I remember Natalie. I remember her first service. And I say this with all sincerity, but you know I'm not trying to be cruel. But we thought she was crazy. She was out of her mind. They had her on so much drugs and so much medication. She was completely out of it. And look, 4 years later, what God has done. Miracle. I remember when Marcia first walked in the old building. Here she is, 23, 24 years still later. Still fighting the good fight of faith. Still holding on. I remember Brother Fred and Sister Karen walked in. I remember the pew they sat in the old building. I thought, oh God, I'm in trouble. Just kidding. I remember. I could tell almost every one of you the day you walked in, because that's how much it means to us. I remember. I'm trying to think of any other specifics I can point. I remember Brandon's god-awful longer hair. I remember always telling him, go cut your hair. Go get a haircut. Go get a haircut. Thank God he finally started cutting his hair. I remember. I remember when Crystal first walked in, she sat over on this side when she first started coming. I remember Tyler. He was just young. He was handsome at one point. Age does that to you. It's not your fault. Tracy, the day Tracy walked through the back doors of the church, the day she walked in, we went home that day. I remember her walking through those double doors in the old church. I remember at service, I think it started her. I was in the front. I know that for a fact. She came walking through. After service that day, I went to my wife. I said, Vince is going to marry that woman. So I said, and he did. He listened. Carter, I remember when you were born. You were cute once too. I remember when I worked in the car lot, car business, and I was witnessing to one of the other managers, and this annoying young guy would always come up behind me and stand there and listen. It would annoy me. It really did. Now, I wasn't very smart, Brother Chris. I'm admitting that. Brother Chris just had he was listening to everything I was saying to this other guy. Brother Chris was interested. I had my eyes focused on somebody else, and this is the one God wanted. Through trial, hardship, here you are all these years later. So many others, Matthew and Amy Jo, they were just young. Young. You still got pictures of Matthew about this tall up here, praying with one of my boys, Colin, I think it was. And all these years later, a lot of heartache, a lot of tragedy in their family, but here they are, still fighting the good fight of faith. So I want to ask you a question. What do you remember? Are you going to choose to remember every ugly thing that's ever happened to you, every ugly word someone ever spoke to you, every time you felt looked over, every time you felt neglected, or are you going to choose to remember everything that God has done to this point in your life? Listen, we're all humans. We're all going to make mistakes along the way. You will, and so will we. But focus on the good things. My God, don't talk about how nice people in the world were to you. I got treated better in the world. Yeah, the fish was better in Egypt too. And so were the melons and the garlic. But guess what? There was also a lot of other stuff. A lot of bondage, a lot of prisons, a lot of beatings, a lot of suffering, a lot of heartache, a lot of hellbound. Would you stand with me? Something a lot of you don't know, but before my wife and we ever even really talked, we maybe said hi here and there. We were at camp one year, and I walked up to her. She had a boyfriend. Now you think, if I'm lying, ask her, because she won't lie. I'll stretch the truth, but she won't. I put my hand on her shoulder, and I said, if you ever break up with him, give me a call. Did I? And almost 30 years later now, I remember. You know what I tell couples when they're struggling in their marriage? Why don't you go back and remember what it was like when you started dating? So I tell them, why don't you stop remembering all the nasty stuff and go back and remember the days when you were in love, when you saw her and you thought, oh my God, I cannot live without her. Or he's so hot. Isn't it good that love is blind? I want you to do me a favor. Would you close your eyes before you do? Would you start to remember when you first came to the Lord? Would you start to remember what was happening in your life? Maybe the first time God spoke to you. You might not even have been in church at the time. Brett, I know you weren't in church. You were in a drunken stupor when God came down into your life. Remember it. Don't forget it. Don't forget how far he brought you from. And if you feel that old lifestyle ever calling, I don't know if you do or don't, but if you do, don't forget how far God's brought you from it. Remember, people need to remember what God is doing and what God has already done. Don't lay your eyes on everything or anything else. Would you close your eyes?